Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I'm Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nicky Delaney. So what?
Welcome along to the Friday morning episode. We're going to attempt to catch up with Nicholas Azula's predictions later in this one.
Oh, yeah.
We've been trying to do that all month, so we might get around to that. We might not. I don't know. What's going on with you, Sam?
Well, there's six squirrels who have formed a gang in my garden.
Wow,
and
that's interesting.
They've been joshing about.
Do they wear leather jackets?
Yeah, they've all got sort tattoos? Of quiffs. and they wear leather jackets, and they also have keychains that hang down by their thigh, which I find intimidating.
Does that
and they've got them special flick knives. They've got butterfly knives that they can play with and do all tricks with.
Does the keychain, does it not indicate their sexuality or their sexual preferences or something like that?
No. That's their bandanas. And they do wear bandanas too.
In the back pocket.
Some of them wear biker caps with chains around the brim. Anyway, now this gang, I mean, maybe it's a cliche to talk about the rise of the urban squirrel, but I don't care because they're presenting a clear and present danger, right?
Right.
Squirrels used to shit themselves around humans. They wouldn't get within 20 yards of you, right? Now, first of all, there was this squirrel and it was coming in the garden. It was digging up my good wife's bulbs.
Christ.
From the flower pots, from the flower pots, right? She's planted some bulbs and this fucking squirrel's coming in right in front of us, right? In the glass door, so you see it coming in. It knows they're there, so there's no fucking about. It's like, all right, cons, carry on doing whatever you're doing. I'm just having a dig about for some bulbs.
Just doing for the bulbs. I heard about the bulbs.
Bang, bang on the window, like get off the fucking bulbs, right? And it fucking stood upright like a meerkat, like almost like, oh yeah, fucking fancy it, do you?
Come on,
human
then.
Cunt, right? I couldn't believe it. It stood up and it just eyeballed me. It did not blink. Right? And I'm going, fuck off, like this. And it just didn't blink. It's like, I'm ready, mate. I'm right here. Open the door. Let's go. I couldn't believe it.
This is evolution, isn't it? This is evolution at play.
This is what I'm thinking.
It's the same with the seagulls. They just brazenly steal chips. And it's the same with the crows as well. But, I mean, the crows have been out for fucking decades.
The crows were out in Richmond Park this morning when I went to reset my demons.
Right.
They were chattering like hell with each other, which they don't usually do. There was a gang of them.
Planning something.
There was a gang of them, and they didn't get out of my way. Which, this is it. There's a theme. It's animals not getting out of your way. Time was...
Not getting out of your way. Specifically
in
in
the 90s, right? Yeah. You'd run this, you'd walk near any animals, and they'd get out of the way because they would acknowledge you as the superior species.
Yeah, they knew their place, didn't they? Yeah, exactly.
Now, in Boris Johnson's Britain, right... You're walking along, and first the squirrels or whatever, they just won't part. So three examples: one, the squirrels. That squirrel fucked off in the end, but now he's back, and there's six of them, and they chase each other around my garden. They're frolicking.
It's
fine. It's fine for them to frolic. I mean, obviously, it's quite entertaining to watch them frolic. Sometimes they'll frolic in the garden for up to 5 minutes. I'll just stare at them.
Beautiful.
And to me, that's as good as anything on TV. Do you know what I mean? So that's all right, but it worries me that there's six of them and they're not hiding in the shadows like squirrels used to. They're like, not like, when I say frolicking in my garden, not up in the trees, on the fucking AstroTurf, mate. You know I've got AstroTurf out the back.
You've mentioned it before,
Yeah, and they're right there, like chasing each other, jumping on each other, play fighting. It's fun to watch, but part of me is like, this is fun to watch, but lads, what the fuck are you thinking? This is a human garden. This is a human garden.
Not anymore. They're
what are you doing here?
They've probably got no respect for your so-called human garden because of the AstroTurf, Sam.
Yeah.
They can't
even be bothered tending for a proper fucking lawn.
It's probably the same as one of those indoor trampoline parks that people go to. That's probably what they regard it as. It's a leisure centre for them.
I tell you what, mate, there is no way. I mean, we'll get onto lawn. That's a whole episode. But I've had a lawn out in the back. And life's too fucking short, mate.
life's too short.
It's too fucking short to tend to a lawn in Britain, right?
Yeah.
Where half the year, unless you're fucking on this shit all the time, the mud and rain. And frankly, lawn care, no offence to people. And we have had people in touch before about their own lawn care. But for me, it's slightly Lampardish. It whiffs of the golf club and of the like the local Conservative Association because it's a bit like I must do my lawn. Like one of my mates, he got into talking about his lawn so much around the same time he got heavily into golf, and I'm like, mate, you might as well just start fucking voting Tory.
Yeah,
I mean, do you know what I mean? I've lost you forever, mate.
Yeah,
I remember us down the Costa Brava in '93, mate. Fucking large in it. In that club, the underground, right? Those were the fucking days.
No,
now look
at you. Lawns that night.
You're non-stop going on about your fucking lawn, right?
Yeah.
And it's a never-ending fucking saga because the British weather means you can get it all right, okay, for a few weeks in the spring. Then the summer comes and it dries the cunt out, right? Then you get it fixed again. Then the winter comes and it turns to fucking mud. And you're in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. And it's like, why are you even taking pride in your lawn? Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, it's nice to look at a nice lawn, but that's not my area of expertise. My area of expertise is journalism.
Journalism and podcasting. Right. I mean, I'll say this. I've got a bit of lawn, right? It's not a lot, but I've got a bit. And I take zero fucking pride in it whatsoever.
Good.
I'll cut it when it needs to be cut at the fucking last minute. I don't add any chemicals to it. I don't water it. Because like you say, come the winter...
It's an organic lawn.
Yeah. Come the winter, it'll just turn to mud and shit anyway.
Yeah.
So what's the point? But I do enjoy cutting it, though. I do enjoy getting the lawn.
Yeah, I can imagine that being therapeutic. And I liked it when I had a lawn. The best thing for me was going to Homebase and spending loads of money on a really good lawnmower and strimmer, which I subsequently used about twice and then gave away. Right. Yeah. The thing is, in my rig, there are the sitting room, the lounge area, has glass doors facing like across a whole wall facing out into the garden. So effectively, nice. Aesthetically, the garden is almost part of your living space. So when it turns to shit and mud in the winter, then you might have made the house, your rig, your main relaxation area nice, comfortable, tidy, looking good.
Yeah.
But you half feel like you're sitting in a mud bath, right?
Yeah.
And that is the reason why I decided to go artificial.
Okay.
Because I was like, if not, I'm out that whole time. I was thinking, I have to keep it looking nice because if not, it'll get me down. I don't want to look at mud. Mate, I've worked too hard to look at fucking mud when I'm trying to sit back and watch the telly.
Well, this is it. You're kind of approaching the halfway point in life, let's say.
That's it.
And you don't want
to...
You don't
why should I have to look at
downward,
mud?
The downward part of life.
I spent a huge part of my youth looking at mud, right?
Yeah.
And I don't want to do it anymore. That's why I got involved in the rap business, so I could claw my way out of the mud ghetto.
hey, something.
It was the only choice for me. I had to become a rapper or a boxer. And I chose the rap game.
That's all you
game.
Get, isn't it? The only choices you get
when you're in the mud ghetto. And now I swear, and I told my mum that she would never have to look at mud again either. So I got, but I didn't want to splash out for AstroTurf. So for her, I just got her garden concreted over.
Tarmac.
Yeah, I've got a couple of Irish lads that I met in the juicer. They're going to come and tarmac over your backyard. But I don't want you to. I like the grass. Don't you worry, mum. I know mum of mine. No mum of mine is going to look at fucking mud out her back window.
I've dragged myself up out of it and I'm dragging you with me. We had a few people get in touch with us with a story that they thought we might be interested in for News Without News, or I've transplanted it into the good or bad occasional news thing that I do. So I'll just read you the headline, Sam, and I want you to tell me if you think this is good or bad. Investigation after Nazi monkey appears in Russian circus.
Well, bad.
Hang on. Investigation is the key word here.
Yeah, but so do you
is the investigation bad or good?
What's the nature of the investigation? Because we're talking about Russia here, right?
Yeah.
Which is a rogue state, yeah?
Yeah.
And you wouldn't, straight away I'm thinking, yeah, investigation, because the Russians have thought, investigate that and see where we, Nazi monkey, let's fucking investigate, find out where we can get more of them from.
Well, I can give you a bit more
info. We can do a few more of them cunts.
I can give you a bit more info if you want. Russian prosecutors have launched an investigation after a monkey wearing a Nazi uniform performed at a state circus. The show also featured goats wrapped in Nazi flags with swastikas. It was part of a show at the Udmurtia Circus in the city of Izhevsk on 8th of January. It was commissioned by the Russian Orthodox Church. It's a church show.
What a country.
And they said that the show symbolised the spurning of Nazism.
Yeah, right.
And Russian law forbids public displays of Nazi symbols. So there we go.
Well, monkeys have got a history of this sort of thing. Don't forget that fucking Nazi spy monkey in Indiana Jones.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
End up poisoning himself, the daft cunt, on a date.
It could be a tribute to that.
It's well known that Hitler put Gurin in charge of a monkey radicalisation plan in the early 40s to help with their war effort. And a lot of them monkeys disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
We suspect mainly to South America in the aftermath of the war to avoid prosecution. Some of them are still active. Some of them have descendants who remain sympathetic to Nazi ideas.
Yeah.
And so you can't be too careful. It reminds me a bit of when I went to the racist circus in Hungary, which for years, of course, lived under the yoke of the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
And they had those drugged cats, those sedated cats performing. They weren't Nazis, but as good as.
It's all tied into the same thing, isn't it? Yeah.
And they also had that huge racist effigy of I think what they called American NBA guy or American basketball guy, which was a huge, gigantic papier-mâché head of what was supposed to represent an African-American basketball player. But the head was problematic. The features were... They pandered to racist tropes.
Mm. Yep. Yeah. I'm looking at the monkey now. I'm looking at the monkey now. He's on one of those extendable leads that you have a dog on, and he's striding around the exterior, the ring of the circus, the little raised area, with his Nazi uniform, and it looks like a hat as well. Got a little belt around his waist, which has slipped down a little bit. He looks very proud, but I don't think there's anything to be proud of here.
One of the defining characteristics of the Nazis, they were always on about pride, weren't they? Yeah. Self fucking thing. Yeah. Pride this, pride that.
The head of PR at the circus has said that images of the animals have been taken out of context. There is nothing unusual about such ironic or grotesque characters being used in circus performances, said Elena Krasnova.
I think earlier in an episode earlier this week, we were talking about Hello, Hello. And you could argue, what's the difference? In Hello, Hello, there were cuddly, comedic Nazis being played by humans on Saturday tea time.
Yeah.
And so they're saying, it's ironic. It's ironic. Yeah, Nazi Whorehouse. That was the working title of Hello, Hello, wasn't it?
Yeah, of course.
And so it was, I suppose we'd say, it's ironic to present Mrs. Bay. And this geezer said, well, we're doing the same sort. To be honest, we're doing the same shtick that Hello, Hello did in Britain many years ago, but we're doing it in circus form. We are hoping to eventually develop it and sell the IP as potentially a TV production called Nazi Monkey Whorehouse. We don't know.
Yeah, it's if anything, it's a tribute to Hello, Hello, as well as an anti-Nazi, an anti-Nazi display. So, that's that.
Yeah, thanks for getting in touch about that. Here's something that people should never send us again, though. You know Nick Cage coming on Wogan in the 80s,
yeah,
throwing money?
Yeah, yeah.
Every day someone tweets us that. And I'll tell you this, thanks. We like the interaction on the one hand, but I'm just saying, heads up now, you wouldn't believe how many times we've been sent it. And it's not so much as I've got bored of it now, it's old. I'm not being like that. It's just that I didn't even find it funny the first time.
Exactly. It was pathetic, wasn't it?
Because it's Nick Cage just being a bit of a, like, proto Johnny Depp. Like,
it's in
look
that Johnny
at me,
Depp
how,
realm, isn't it? Yeah.
How crazy rock and roll I am, right?
And how many drugs have I taken backstage? Yeah.
What annoys me is, Nicolas Cage, you are not a quarter of the man Terry Wogan is. You're in his fucking studio, his house.
It's turf.
And and this is not the kind of conduct that, that Terry appreciates, right?
It's not that kind of show, yeah. No, exactly.
I shouldn't give this away, but I went, but I'm going to. Recently, this is like really hot historical showbiz gossip. I went for a coffee earlier in the year with the great, the legend that is Steve Jones off of the Pyramid Game. Just me and him. Just me and him.
Wow. Catching up.
His son didn't come. His son didn't come.
I cut him out.
And it was like, it was a classic power play. I went to him all casual. I was going for a coffee with your old man. And he was like, he reacted well, to be honest. He didn't let it bother him.
Yeah. But you knew
it, it must have rankled.
Better. Right? Must have done. Yeah.
I mean, imagine if you found out I was having crafty coffees with your dad behind your back.
You fucking cunt. You saucy cunt.
So if I just like went for a coffee with your dad in Sunderland and then like took a photo and then didn't send it to you, just stuck it on Instagram knowing that you would see it.
Yeah.
This is quite a good prank that we could start getting cunters to do, right? Dad theft. Yes! Dad theft is a new thing we're launching. Can you steal your mate's dad, right, and wind him up about it and then report to us about... Because, you know, a lot of dads... This isn't the case of Steve Jones. Steve Jones, obviously, you can imagine, man like him is not short of mates, right? Mm. But some dads are, you know, they quite like the opportunity to socialise. So to steal a dad...
Yeah,
can't be that difficult.
Brazenly, like that.
Especially once lockdown's over. Especially once they've got their jabs.
Yeah.
Because then they're like they're fucking chomping at the bit to get out. Anyway, I went for a summer coffee with Steve Jones off the Pyramid Game. And we were chatting about this, that and the other. But really, the whole time, he's brilliant company, as you can imagine. But and I don't want to be pushy and go, yeah, Steve, that's all very well, but can you just tell me some 80s showbiz stories, please, from the front line of 1980s entertainment? Because you think, oh, he doesn't want that, you know. So I waited. I bided my time, mate. This is one of my many journalistic skills that I've built over the years. I think, just bide your time, mate.
Yeah.
It's a social event, but remember, in the back of your mind, you're always journalism, right? That's what
you,
I call it.
Do you kind of just... cast your rod into the water and just wait for a bite.
I just wait, mate.
Yeah.
I sit there and I wait and I think it'll come.
Yeah.
And we got to the end of our coffee and it was in a park where we'd gone. And then we walked from the cafe back out of the park and I was heading off to get in on my scooter and he was walking home. And I was thinking, it's getting quite late now. I'm not sure whether I'm going to get a nugget. And I can't remember how or where it came from. But suddenly, bang! Just so I was almost giving up hope, he told me a story about being at the Eurovision Song Contest finals with Terry Wogan in 1987 and Ireland winning because Terry was presenting it on the box, but Steve was doing the radio audio. Steve was pretty much the main guy at all awards in the 80s. You know when you get up and you've won the award and they go, and the winner is for Best Podcast... It's Andy Dawson, right? And then you stand up at your table, and as you walk from your table through the other tables up to stage,
a
voiceover comes and goes, Andy Dawson from Sunderland first entered into podcasting with Bob Mortimer in 2000 and blah, blah, like, and all that, right? Steve was excellent at that. But I think on this occasion, Steve might have just been doing the live radio commentary for probably like Radio 2 or something.
Yeah, it always used to be simulcast on Radio 2, didn't it?
Yeah.
People who didn't have tellies.
Afterwards, him and Tellboy had already arranged to meet up for a drink.
Yeah, I bet.
But guess what? Where was it? I think it was in Austria, right? Which just made it funnier. And and Ireland fucking won. And before any Lampard's getting in touch, go, actually, Ireland did win in 1987. I think it was 1987.
Something like that. It might have been Austria.
It was the 80s. They were in Austria. Ireland fucking won. So suddenly everything went up a notch because Terry was, of course, banging with the Irish act who'd won. So suddenly they're out celebrating with the winning act in Vienna. And I know that Steve had arranged to go on Terry's show first thing the next morning. And he said, in the end, I had to retire off to bed early. He went, but I left Terry still partying with the band.
Yeah.
And when I turned up at his to meet him to do the, you know, remote broadcast the next morning for his Radio 2 breakfast show or whatever, he goes, I was hanging in rags. He went, Terry had not been to bed. And he was an absolute consummate pro. You wouldn't have known it. And I was just like, I think I said something to him like this. Well, that was Terry. trying to make out that I'm on their level of showbiz, of showbiz sort of stature. I've just given it like that. Well, that was Terry.
That was Terry
all over. One word. Look up the word professionalism in the dictionary. And you'll just find a picture of old Tellboy.
Jalapeño.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you wouldn't be hearing this brief but annoying message if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Jalapeño.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
Terry used to get through, like 2 bottles of Baileys every time he did the Eurovision. It was always well known. His tradition was that he would have a glass of Baileys with ice to like commence the fucking broadcast. But obviously he's not just going to stop at one, is he? He's Terry Wogan. You know.
And also from memory, Baileys is quite weak. So you can drink quite a lot of it before
it's
you start to feel
7-8%
pissed.
8%, I think, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty weak.
It's a bit stronger than a bottle of wine. So getting through 2 of them.
But you don't drink that size glasses, do you? You don't drink wine-sized glasses of it. That's the problem. You should do. You might as well just cut to the chase. Instead of fucking around, and you might as well just pour yourself a tumbler of Baileys.
Yeah, you can drink any size glass with a Baileys, I think.
Because it's that tasty, you drink it fast anyway because it's so delicious.
Yeah, it is. I've still got a bottle in the fridge that needs finishing off. I just remembered. Might do that tonight. Great story. But yeah, dad napping. If you want to kidnap
dad
your mate's
napping dad. Is a great thing that we should start, right? Mm. Can you steal your friend's dad without him knowing and then reveal it to him in a sort of an underhand power play way, and then just report to us how that went down. Because it's a fucking good one. I mean, loads of times.
You had an advantage with that because Steve Jones will have seen you not only as, you know, his son's pal, but also as a high-ranking media figure.
Well, we were there to discuss media matters.
Well, there you go. It works on 2 levels, doesn't it?
And like, he'll also, I like to think, he's never used his words, but I like to think that he sees me in some ways as a protege.
Very much so, I reckon. Yeah.
You know? because, you know, there wasn't anyone else I knew in my orbit who was a top broadcaster when I was a kid. It was Steve Jones. He gave me the inspiration to subsequently become a top broadcaster myself.
Well, exactly. It was there on your doorstep, almost, literally. He showed you how it could be done.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Did Steve himself rise up from the mud in the same way that you
are? Yeah, he's from Crewe.
Right.
He's from Crewe. And, he's from, a humble background in Crewe. And he, you know, as I've said before, he used to take us to the games. And then we were really lucky because when we got to a certain age and his profile became big, he was asked to do a couple of corporate things for West Ham, which gave us access. I went to at least two games where I was in like posh seats.
Yeah.
And I sat next to, I've told you, I sat next to Wixie and Todd Carty once, right?
I did, yeah, yeah.
So that was courtesy of Steve Jones.
That's just reminded me. Couple of people have been in touch to let us know that Grange Hill is now on BritBox, the first four series of Grange Hill.
Oh, the best ones. The early ones are the best, I think.
Yeah. So I was just about to cancel my BritBox and I think I'll have to go back and...
Yeah, it's worth sticking in for that. In fact, I was thinking of Grange Hill earlier because I thought it might be a good subject, a really good plot line. Could be something for forthcoming History Box episodes.
Yes.
Like Zamo on Skag. Zamo on Skag, yeah. or something to do with Gripper or something like that.
First anyway, one's coming next week, isn't it? History Box.
History Box, yeah.
That'll be Tuesday.
Are we going to reveal what it is, or are you going to do that on Twitter at a later date?
You can reveal it now because you suggested it.
For history, well, should we give an overview? I don't know if we've explained what History Box is, but it's our new Tuesday episode for subscribers. Up until now, get Life Logistics on a Tuesday. If you're not a subscriber, you should know you get an episode every single fucking day without ads, and they're all amazing. On Tuesdays, usually you get Life Logistics. Life Logistics is not going to be discontinued, but occasionally on a Tuesday, we will replace it with History Box, which is just a one episode deep dive into a great moment in world history.
Yep.
And it could be anything. Like, it could be the Reformation, right? Mm-hmm. It could be the assassination of JFK. It could be the abdication of the old king, right?
It could be the time that Peter O'Toole appeared on the Letterman show on the back of a camel. It could be that.
Yes, exactly. It could be any of these things. It could be the time that Zamo got hooked on Skag. For episode one, it will be something that is easily as significant to the a story of human civilization as any of those moments. It is Phil Collins at Live Aid in 1985. when you'll remember, Phil Collins was the only artist to perform on both sides of the Atlantic in a single day. He performed at Wembley, then he got a helicopter ride, courtesy of Noel Edmonds, from Wembley to Heathrow. From there, he jumped on Concorde, flew to New York, then got another helicopter from New York to Philadelphia, where he performed at the American leg of
with
Live
Led Zeppelin.
Aid. I've given you... Yeah. And with Led Zeppelin. So I've given you the basic details, but trust me, the chapter of Phil Collins' book, which I think is called Not Dead Yet, right, which came out a few years ago, and it was until Elton John's book came along and usurped it, my favourite rock and roll autobiography. This remains my favourite chapter in a book of all time. So we'll be deep diving that on History Box this Tuesday.
We will. Where did we tell them that? I can't remember.
We're talking about Grange Hill.
Yeah.
We're talking about Grange Hill. Anyway, just briefly, because I mentioned Todd Carty, just briefly, Steve Jones once, we got Kerr Alexander in the cup, so he had divided allegiances because he'd grown up as a big Crewe fan, but then his son had become a big West Ham fan, so that got him into West Ham. So he got specially, but it was the same kit manufacturer for both clubs, which I believe was Bukta. Don't know if you remember that kit manufacturer.
Oh, yeah, I remember Bukta, yeah, yeah.
And Bukta made the Crewe kit and the West Ham kit. You know what they did for Steve Jones? Made him a half and half tracksuit, mate.
Wow, fucking
You
hell.
Remember half and half hats? It's a half and half fucking tracksuit. Half Crewe, half West Ham.
Jesus.
We'll do that on History Box one week.
That's a one of a
kind,
isn't it?
Steve Jones wore a half and half tracksuit.
They're not mass producing them, are they? Fuck it up.
Don't think so. I don't know if he's still got it. I like to think that he has it framed in his study. I'll ask him.
Good. Where are we at? Shall we have a quick look at the predictions of what's he called again? Fucking Nicolas Azula. We'll look back at his 2020 predictions first.
Yeah.
Because I get all of this from the Mirror website because they seem to feature him every fucking year because it's good content, isn't it?
Yes, I do. Yeah, it's great content.
2020, what was he predicting? A little bit of insight into how it works. He's a past life regression therapist and a hypnotherapist. And he says in the Mirror last year, he says, some of the visions I have through dreams and others just hit me when I'm walking around. This proper genuine quote here. He says, the dreams are the strongest, though, as that's when you're conked out. The logical side of your brain is switched off, giving more room to your intuitive side. That's how it works. Evidently, he says he felt that Trump would be defeated, but that he wouldn't go quietly. Oh, very good.
Quite easy to predict, but...
Fairly easy. Severe weather and heavy winds in the UK. Again, that kind of happens a lot. More specific, Paris Hilton announcing she's having a baby. Don't think that happened. Scandal around Lindsay Lohan and Jennifer Aniston starting a significant new relationship. Something about Amy Winehouse. But she was already dead, so I'm not sure what he was expecting there. A dog winning a talent show. England enjoying success at a major football tournament.
There was no major football tournament. Did it? Got cancelled, mate.
I'm looking to see anything about COVID. Someone called Justin caught up in a scandal. But that was the year before, wasn't it? That was Justin Trudeau when he was blacked up. Yeah, his 2020 predictions, they're not great. Just a reminder that in past lives he's been an Egyptian queen, a maid, a teacher in the French Revolution, a deer, a lion, and even lived in another universe. That was 2020. Here's the predictions that he's given us for 2021. As featured in the Mirror a week or so ago. And it says here, weirdly... he claimed that it would be an influenza disaster that would dominate the world. Oh no, he claimed this in 2018. So, well, you know, he could have said that for any year. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt on that one. Blah, 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 Egyptian queen, teacher, a lion, even lived in another galaxy. Fancy that. What's he got? Come on, Nicholas, what have you got for us? Yeah, he's just going on and on about predicting... the COVID. He predicted Ariana Grande's cupcake style dress at the Grammys.
Did he? That's a good one because that's so pretty says, specific.
He had.
Here's one for you. Ariana Grande turned up at the Grammys dress. In a dress like a cupcake. Write that down.
What else has he got? Come on. Right, here we go. He's predicting a mass movement of people with thousands moving countries in one go.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds very plausible.
Civil unrest, he says. He says he's got visions of Rishi Sunak resigning, fire raging through New York, and potential heartbreak for three A-list celebrities. He says, I keep getting the words Tom Cruise and heart coming to me. Maybe that's literal and he'll be poorly with a heart problem, or maybe it's metaphorical and he'll go through a breakup or something.
You know what? I'm going to have a cheeky side bet on, because these things are all open to interpretation, that Tom Cruise is going to fill in for what's his name? The one who got caught in a sex dungeon. He presents the Heart FM breakfast show. Jimmy Thixton. Know if he does it. Yeah. And when he goes off on his summer holidays, I think he holidays at a sex dungeon somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere abroad.
He goes to a foreign sex dungeon for his holidays. They get people in, don't they, to cover?
Yeah.
And I think it might mean that Tom Cruise is going to do a 6-week stint on Heart FM Breakfast with Amanda Holden.
Well, you know, you're treading all over Nicholas's turf there, but okay. Here's another one. He says, I'm also seeing romantic heartache for Natalie Portman and Kim Kardashian. Who knows? Maybe she'll split with Kanye West. Well, that's happened already, hasn't it? But that was on the cards. That was on the cards. I think there was rumours about that for ages now. He's got Nick Peter Andre relaunching his musical career, a new Harry Potter book, and a digestive biscuit going viral. A digestive biscuit is going to go viral in 2021. Sam.
What circumstances could you see that happening?
I can't imagine. I'm not Nicholas Ajula. That's down to him.
I think that they're all there for interpretation, aren't they? Happened before because people did that Lionel Rich tea, except, of course, that was a rich tea. That's the only time I can think of a viral biscuit.
Yeah. He's got a male world leader being assassinated. He says, I couldn't see who it was, but I sensed it sent shockwaves through the world. Obviously, I hope that doesn't come to fruition, he says.
It's not scandal. Biden.
He's predicting a rise in far-right politics. I mean, again, that's not hard to fucking see, is it?
No.
That's pretty much it. Everybody says... A lot of people are open-minded and intrigued by what I do, but of course you do get sceptics. They say things like, why don't you predict the lottery then? But I can't control the visions, and me winning the lottery wouldn't serve any purpose to the wider world. It's not everyone's destiny to become a billionaire. But he'd fancy it though, wouldn't he? Let's face it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he's monetizing his predictions in any other way. I would imagine he must be monetizing them some way, because if not, what's the point of going to the effort? It can't be easy. You probably have to, you know, get yourself worked up in some sort of transcendental fucking frenzy for these to start spilling out of you. I mean, you've seen Minority Report, haven't you? Right? In that, they've got these lads and lasses who can do the predictions, but they've got to get them rigged up to fucking, you know, crocodile clips, chargers, battery charging sort of things, and leave them floating about in a fucking pool, half comatose, and once in a while a little lottery ball falls out of their bumhole and it tells you what's going to happen.
It's right? No fun, is it? It's no
doesn't
fun.
Doesn't look like much fun, but that is a reflection of how fucking there is a lot of graft involved in the prediction game. You don't just come out with it. Yeah. So what I'm saying is he must be on the make somewhere along the line.
Well, I don't know, because in the comments underneath the story in the Mirror, Eleanog says, I predict he's an idiot. And then someone called Blue Car says, yeah, a get-rich-quick one. And then someone underneath called Truth Hurt says, a genuine psychic does not charge.
Like John McCririck. John McCririck didn't charge himself. And he was a psychic, wasn't he?
Yeah. Was he?
Well, yeah, he predicted who was going to win the horse races.
Did he? I thought he just told you what the odds were. He was a tic-tac man.
No, I think he gave you. A little wink when he was like, "Yeah, I reckon that sure one's going to win."
Oh well, I never picked up on that.
A tipster. Hey, you know how people say? Sorry, just a quick bit of wellness advice, because it's important to at this time of year. A lot of people are trying to change their lifestyle.
Yeah.
Did you know? Right. Have you heard that if you don't wash your hair, if you stop washing your hair, after a certain number of weeks, it starts to clean itself naturally?
Yeah, it does.
Someone tried to tell me that it's the same with wiping your bum.
Oh! Who told you that? Len?
No, no one told me that. I told it to Len because I thought it was a funny joke. And I hope he doesn't take it seriously. If you stop wiping your bum, right, it's not nice to begin with, but after a couple of weeks, it starts self-cleaning. Like your hair.
Once you get through that barrier, the first couple of weeks, it starts to clean itself. Yeah.
He knows what I say is a lie. I mean, I told him that I kicked all of my brothers up the arse so hard when we were younger that their arses came out of their mouths.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
His only response to that was, well, how come they've all still got arses then? And I said, they're artificial. lockdown's going fine. As long as you can keep a steady flow of entertaining lies going. Do you know what I mean? Oh, I've got my brother on the line here. Oh, it's Cass. Maybe he's calling with a rat update. He did promise me a video of the rat. Yeah. And then he didn't send it. And because he said, would you like to see a video? Because I said, after we talked about the rat last week, I sent him a text and went, have you caught that rat yet? And he went, no, but would you like to see some video footage of it? And I wrote, yes, very much. And I think I was so quick and enthusiastic in my response that he quite literally smelt a rat and thought, oh, that cunt's probably talking about me on his stupid podcast again.
Yeah, yeah.
So he hasn't sent me the footage, but I've just received a call. I'm hoping that whatever that call is about, I will be able to negotiate footage of the rat from his night vision camera equipment.
It's not a cease and desist.
Could be a cease and desist. Could go either way, this call.
Could do. Right, well, we've got to do the predictions of the football as well. You got time for that?
Yep.
Okay, here we go. Liverpool versus Manchester United.
Oh, fucking hell. What day is that?
That's Sunday, I think. It's always on a Sunday, that, isn't it? Half four, usually.
I think that's going to be 2-1 to Liverpool.
2-1 to Liverpool.
I know United are top, but I can't see United winning. I mean, United just aren't as good as Liverpool. I know there'll be United fans going, well, look at the league table then, you stupid cockney twat.
I've got to knock them off their fucking perch again like we did in 93.
But listen, we all know Liverpool are the better team.
I'm going 1-1 for that one. 1-1. On to Sheffield United versus Tottenham. I'll go first here. Sheffield United, I think they're going to win that 1-0.
Yeah, I had a funny feeling about that. Tottenham are going a bit Tottenham-y, aren't they?
They're going a bit Tottenham-y. Obviously, Sheffield United beat Newcastle the other night, yeah.
This is a game I would like both teams to lose. But I'm going to play it safe and say 2-0
Tottenham. 2-0 to Tottenham. Okay, then we've got the West Hams. It's the Claret and Blue Derby against Burnley, I believe. Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
Go for it. What do you reckon?
I'll say 1-0 West Ham.
1-0 to West Ham. I think it will be 3-1 to West Ham.
Whoa.
How about that? And then we've got AFC Wimbledon versus Sunderland. I'll go first here. If you're thinking about getting this one online, it kicks off at 1 p.m. instead of the usual 3 p.m. So don't miss out on this one. It's going to be AFC Wimbledon, Sunderland. Just 1-1 again. Yet again, Sunderland will fail to win.
I'll say 1-0 Sunderland.
1-0 to Sunderland. Well, that's very decent of you. Finally, Nottingham Forest versus Millwall.
2-1 Forest.
2-1 Forest. I think it will be 1-1, that one. And that is the predictions for the weekend. We should quickly thank the lovely people at House of Wax who sent us some free candles.
In Stockton-on-Tees.
In Stockton-on-Tees,
Not far from you. You could probably go and buy some in person. Lovely place where I've spent a night before. Fucking hell. These candles, check them out. I think they're on Etsy, aren't they?
They're on Etsy. House of Wax candles on Etsy,
We're not getting paid anything for this. They did send us some stuff unsolicited after we had a Mandel discussion last week. And I'm not just saying it because we got sent some for free. They are amazing candles in great flavours. And the thing is that they're cheaper than you go up and get all these posh ones that people get, Joe Malone or what have you. These ones are as good. The game changer, mate, laundry day.
Right.
You think I've said too much, don't you?
I don't know if I've got that one. I'm not sure. Is that the bottle?
That's the bottle with the sticks.
Right, I haven't tried that yet.
Smells like you've done fresh laundry.
Okay. Let's not go too far. Let's not give them too much airtime.
I can tell you feel we've gone too far.
Yeah, and I think we should stop getting people to send us stuff because otherwise it's just going to be just name-checking people who've sent us free stuff. And that's when you cross the line into bullshit. Right, that's it from this episode. Enjoy your weekend if you can. And we'll be back with more. Top Flight Tune Machine's coming back on Sunday, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Should we tell them which chart we're doing?
Well, I can remember the year. Let's just tell them the year.
1974.
Fucking hell.
Before we were both born.
Before we were fucking born, you dickheads. Yeah.
So there we go. Thank you very much, and ta-ta.
Bye-bye, thank you.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.